Spring's here, but are you still feeling a chill? Warm up with Kama Sutra's Kissable Oil of Love. Not a massage oil or a lubricant, but a delicious and exciting way to savor your partner. Use its elegant dropper to anoint their erogenous zones and then lightly blow on the oil for a gentle warming sensation. Follow with kisses and now you're enjoying any of those six sweet flavors too. Is it getting hot in here? More on Kama Sutra and some big savings later on in the podcast.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and you are listening to the Body Storytelling Podcast. And when you come back later and you try and remember which one was the one that had that crazy good thing that happened in that weird place, that one, this one, is episode 70. You ready to hear a story? This storyteller told very recently at Body Storytelling in Seattle. He identifies as a nihilistic hedonist, which may be why he's been the subject of one of the stories chosen at Best of Body in Seattle recently. He's been a co-conspirator in many of the stories from the Seattle perv and kink community that we've had shared on our stage, but this was the first time he got on stage himself to tell a story. This storyteller is Sean Silverman.
On my 28th birthday, I came home to find that my ex had packed most of her things and left me a birthday present in a steel case. And when I opened the steel clasps on it, I found one of those beaded stainless steel rods for shoving up your ass. We'd been together for over seven years when she decided that she couldn't really live her truth in a heteroperformative relationship any longer and couldn't really be anything other than monogamous, and she didn't really think that I could deal with not having kinkier sex for much longer. So when she left, I had a long list of things that I'd been wanting to try, and one of the things people tell you when you end a long relationship that you didn't necessarily want to end is that you should do all the things that you couldn't do because you were with that person, like rearrange the furniture and make fried chicken, make the whole house smell like fryer grease, and have random guys over from Craigslist. I really wish she'd figured it out before we'd signed all the mortgage paperwork, though. We'd just bought a house in Rockville, Maryland, which is a town best known for the REM song, "Don't Go Back to Rockville." Now at the time, I think this was before Grindr or right at the leading edge of Grindr, and I still think that at the time it was the best way to get random guys, or Craigslist was the best way to get random guys over, and I know Dixie really likes it, but I'd always been more comfortable on OkCupid. And so pretty quickly afterwards I opened a new account. It had changed a lot since my ex and I met there. It was mostly a personality quiz site. I don't know if you guys remember that far back. And so I answered a few questions about like my Marxist feminist politics and what kind of kinks I wanted to try. And pretty quickly, this algorithm was 99% sure that I'd enjoy the company of Flapper Philosopher. Her essays had me pretty interested. She opened with, "I like Israelis," and then she listed a bunch of other nationalities, but she listed mine first, and I'm already into this kind of fetishization. She was clearly into books, and good ones. She listed my favorite Asimov that very few people have heard of, and a lot of my favorite classics. I looked up the F. Scott Fitzgerald story she was punning about in her username, and it was pretty good. She was into some pretty serious board games, not like Twilight Imperium serious, but, you know, enough that we could, like, hang out. In her favorite foods, she gave me a really good opening. She said that she loved sabich, which is a kind of fried eggplant in a pita you can get in Israel. So I asked where she'd had it and if she wanted a local source. And a few messages back and forth, and I met Nikki for drinks. She was tall and had like long, dirty blonde hair and a low ponytail, and was wearing these blue rectangle rim glasses and a very low-cut dress with very large tits. And a few drinks in, she wanted to go to a park, and she showed me a statue of Dante Alighieri, and I asked if she wanted to make out. So we started dating. Pretty quickly, I found out that Nikki is what's called in the kink scene a masochist. She had scars on her back from a flesh hook suspension. And pictures on her FetLife of needle play. She was one of those people who asked you to hit them when you were fucking them, and when you didn't hit her hard enough, she would ask if you had something to hit her with. And so, you know, she taught me a lot about risk-aware consensual kink, which is not a thing I'd ever heard of. I'd always heard that the kinky folks were into safe, sane, and consensual, and some of Nikki's fantasies were like breaking bones and getting shot through with arrows. It's a natural escalation of needle play. She took me to my first kink happy hour, and it was clear that if we stayed together, there would be a lot more kink events in my future. And we ran through a lot of my firsts. One day, coming home from the subway to my house, she had me pull her into a park, like a little wooded area, and I pushed her down on her knees, and she gave me a blowjob next to this bubbling creek. She had a great time. The pictures of her knees covered in forest detritus are still on her FetLife. She was the first person to finger my ass while blowing me. She was the yeah. She was the first person I ever hit with an implement. One day she brought rope over to my house and instructed me in tying her up, and that was fun, but then one day she found my packing saran wrap and instructed me in mummifying her. She was also into degradation. She had me write mean things about her with markers and also with the Wartenberg wheel. So, you know, we had a really good time, but eventually we realized that if I was going to be doming all the time, this just wasn't going to last. And she drew on her years of experience subbing to go through some more excellent firsts. She was the first person to fuck my face with a strap on. She was the first person to tie me up. And one day I one day she came over, I was pre-tied up, and she tied a piece of rope to my hair. I had a long ponytail at the time, and the other end of the rope to an anal hook. And the rope was just a little too short, so that whenever my butt wasn't getting fucked too hard, my neck hurt. And I'd recommend that to literally anyone. Like, grow your hair out or whatever you need to do. One day she fucked me in the ass so hard that I complained about it. And so she measured the strap on and measured my dick and declared herself the butt sex champion. But pretty much everything we were doing that was new to me was old hat to Nikki. But one day I had this idea. So it was like after dark and on a cold day in November when she came over, and I blindfolded her at my door and tied her wrists together and threw her in the backseat of my car. And I drove around for a little while, in part because I thought it would be fun, and in part because I genuinely had never driven where we were going. I got a little lost. I pulled into a parking space. I pulled her out of the car and put my phone in flashlight mode and started walking around. And honestly, it's a miracle she didn't trip over something. We were walking around in like circles because I just couldn't find this thing. And I'd read an article in the Post or DCist or something, and the GPS on my phone said that it was here somewhere. And there it was. And I pushed Nikki down to her knees on a cold granite slab. And when she heard me unzip, she was ecstatic. And she was like, and I was like, oh, what do you want? And she said, your dick in my mouth, please. And I said, are you sure? I can't really tell. And she said, please fuck my face. And I was like, oh, okay. So I pulled my dick out and let her lips to it, and she immediately tried to deep throat me, and then she started bobbing up and down. But it was cold, and she was like slobbering, and it was dripping down to my balls, and it was like cold and windy and wet. So like, after a few minutes of this, I was like, "Hey, so do you want to know where we are?" And she nodded with like, you know, my dick in her mouth. So I took her blindfold off and put my phone back in flashlight mode, and pulled her by her hair off of my crotch. And so she could see all the coins and flowers and books and the granite slab beneath her, which read, so we beat on, like boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. And the granite slab in front of her, which read, Francis Scott Key Fitzgerald and his wife, Zelda. She was ecstatic. We agreed that F. Scott would have been really pleased with this tribute to him. And she really wanted to finish what she'd started. So I led her back to the car, and she put my dick back in her mouth, and so I had to drive carefully back home. Pulled her by the hair off of my crotch and got into bed, and she sucked my dick like a pro while like fucking my ass with a dildo until I flooded her mouth. For the first time in my life, flooded someone's mouth with cum. It ended a few weeks after that. But before it did, she told some of her friends what I'd done, and they described it as a life story altering sex, which was a bucket list item I didn't know I had. I'm pretty sure Nikki has found the dom of her dreams, and I've found the sort of poly-queer lifestyle of mine. So it was pretty great that after 7 years of a pretty vanilla marriage and her spending most of her adult life in a dungeon, I could still find some ways to surprise her.
Love, man. My first time was with this girl, Paulette. Forget about it. We did it in a graveyard.
First time we made love, it was a great big deal. I was too scared to feel nervous from trying. next time we made love, still we were not a hit. Well, I thought of this is it. Everyone's lying. But then we did it again. And I forgot to be scared, I guess. Cause when we did it again, I closed my eyes. Surprise. Then we did it again. I'm thinking, was it beginner's luck, or is it wonderful ones in each three tries? Surprise!
The song you just heard, surprise, surprise, was from a Chorus Lines soundtrack.
Discover Pleasure Dungeon.
Here's a question. Who invented foreplay? It's hard to tell, but Kama Sutra created the foreplay market with its very first product, Oil of Love. I mean, they got 50 years of experience and have been making love better since 1969, so I'm going to vote for them. Their original Oil of Love was developed to heighten sensitivity, increase arousal, and enhance orgasms. And I'm a fan of all those things. Their kissable, water-based foreplay oil warms on the skin, so use the Elegant Dropper to deliver any of their 6 sexy flavors onto you or your partner. Flavors like Raspberry Kiss, Vanilla Cream, Tingly Original, Tropical Mango, Coconut Pineapple, or their bestseller, Strawberry Dreams. And all of them pair perfectly with Kama Sutra's Honey Dust Powder. Do you know of another foreplay method that's DSA approved? Because I sure don't. And right now, just because you're bawdy, you can get 20% off anything you order when you use the promo code DIXIE. And not just for Oil of Love or their famous Honey Dust Powder, on anything. Want to get better at making love? Go to KamaSutra.com right now and use the code DIXIE at checkout to get 20% off. I beseech thee, support us on Patreon. Patreon is a way to support the projects that you love, that you want to see continue. Kickstarter's for like one of them one-time things, but Patreon means that a podcast, which comes out weekly, it's coming out weekly, y'all. Did you ever think that was going to happen? I didn't think that's going to happen. I'm so proud of the record we have for delivering these stories to you every week. It's a lot of work. It costs money to produce this thing. If you'd like to support us, if you'd like to keep this thing going, I need your help. Go to patreon.com/bawdy and support us. Whatever you can do helps ensure that we can keep doing this. We can keep delivering these stories that are heard in cities where you're not, and maybe even come to you. So just like the folks who showed up at Bawdy Storytelling in Seattle for the live show this week, who traveled from long distances, live Bawdy is so different than the podcast. There's so much more. There's bango, there's games, there's sexy cocktails that are so fun to saddle up to somebody hot and go, I'll be having the CBT, thank you, or the ethical slut, or the Bawdy got me laid. But at a live show, you get to meet other people like you, hear their stories, and go home knowing that the world is a better place because we all come together. So I'm going to tell you about our upcoming live Bawdy Storytelling shows. This week, we have Gateway Drug in San Francisco at the Verdi Club. We have some incredible stories in this show. We have a brand new musical guest, Dr. Stryker, and I'm really excited about that. So go to bawdystorytelling.com/shows and get your tickets right away because it's Thursday, April 18th. That's any minute now. On May 17th in San Francisco, we got Unicorn Fest, and I am working hard to make this one extra weird. Weird is good for me. We are going to have unicorn-related activities, and we're going to have stories, and it's going to be a big Friday night show on Friday, May 17th. Tickets are online now, and they're selling fast. Then, don't forget, I'm going to be putting tickets up soon for our Folsom Street Fair show. Sunday, September 29th, after you've been out in the sun, wearing your leather, getting all sweaty, at the world's largest kink event, you can come on over to Bawdy Storytelling for sexy cocktails and to flirt. You're already dressed up, why not? A lot of people fly in for Folsom Street Fair. They come in from all over the world. So we're a destination, they're a destination. Two great tastes that taste great together, right? We have a show coming up in Seattle on May 9th. The theme is libertine. I got pitches, but I don't have your pitch yet. I'd really like to have you on stage in Seattle on May 9th. That's a Thursday. So send your story to dixie@bawdystorytelling.com. How do you pitch me? So easy. On your phone, you have a thing called the voice memo. You are just going to tell me your story, beginning, middle, and end. You're just telling me. You're not telling everybody. We work together. I coach you. We make it beautiful. You get on stage. You get a standing ovation. Your life's changed forever. It's simple, really. So those are upcoming shows for Body Storytelling. I really hope to see you at a live show soon. I'm a grateful Southern girl, and I like to say thank you. And this could not happen without the help of the following people. Podcast producer Marty Garcia, who makes it sound so fucking good. Video archivist Joe Moore. Project manager Dana Hanna. Sound engineer David Grossoff. And it wouldn't work if you weren't listening. Thank you to you for listening, for sharing, for reviewing, writing us a review. That would rock my fucking world. All of those things make this podcast grow. And that's my dream. Thank you for listening. Because you're insatiable, I want to introduce you to a new sex positive podcast. Sex Talk with My Mom is a mother and son talking frankly about sex, and the role reversal between them will surprise you. Not just that, they're about to celebrate their 200th episode right this fucking minute. So go over and listen to Sex Talk with My Mom. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Cam and his mom, Karen Lee, she's a cougar. I see her at the cougar meetings when I'm in LA, will blow your mind. It's a really fun podcast, and here's a sample of it right now.
It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It is the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born. Each week we interview comedians.
She starts sucking my dick, and I'm like, whoa, I guess pornos are real.
We also talk to sex experts.
I could bottom in a really dominant way. I can be like, bitch, pick up that flogger and hit me with it now.
And we also talk to our ex lovers.
I was not that experienced with fingering. So we start.
Not that experienced?
I wasn't that experienced. I'm picking up from like what I've seen on porn, which is.
He was hovering. He was hoverboarding it.
We've been featured in Esquire magazine on the Today Show
at Second City in Chicago.
Subscribe to Sex Talk with My Mom.